Join A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain as they present The Book of Ruth, a live drama, March 29th and 30th. Don't miss this powerful story of Kinsman's Redeemer, which represents Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Come early at 6 p.m. to save your seat or call ahead. Show starts at 7 p.m., limited seating available. Call 760-315-1967. A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California. atouchfromabove.org.
Set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Lawana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Lawana Steins, call 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. And now, here's your A Touch From Above host, Dr. Lawana Steins.
God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Dr. Lawana, and this is A Touch From Above. Oh, awesome is our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is good. I want to take you back a little bit in history. Do you remember September 11th when those planes hit that Twin Tower? You know, I remember being in New York, and, you know, I remember bringing back this little... like a little souvenir of the Twin Towers. You know, I want to read something to you. It says, "You say you will never get you'll never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed, and I gave him the peace to say, 'Honey, I'm not going to make it, but it's okay. I am ready to go.' I was with his wife when he called, and as she fed breakfast to their children, I held her up as she tried to understand his words. And as she realized he wasn't coming home that night, I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. Oh, dear God, I have been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years. I said, 'Of course, I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now.' I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and the devastated souls. I took him home to tend to his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes in every seat with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and ensuring them that their faith had saved them. I was in Texas. I was in Virginia. I was in California, Michigan, and Afghanistan. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all knew me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and the flames, 'Come to me. This way. Take my hand.' Some chose for the final time to ignore me, but I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why. However, if you were there in that explosive moment of time, would you have reached for me September 11, 2021? It was not the end of the journey for you, but someday your journey will end. And I will be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then, at any moment, you know you are ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Signed, God." You and I have to remember something, that God is always faithful. God is everything under his control. We must never forget the foundation of our nation. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, it says, "Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your father has set. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 15 says, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of the evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, and from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked. Those ways are crooked, and who are devious in their path." You see, you have to understand, very crucial, today our life is but a vapor. I share all the time with our church, our life is but a vapor. One moment we're here, and we are one blink away from eternity. I tell people when they say, "Well, you know, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this," I say, "Well, what about God when I'm witnessing to somebody? Where does Jesus fit in to your life there?" "Well, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to do this. I'm busy." I think about the rich man in the Bible that he says, "Oh, my goodness, I've done well for myself. I fare well. I'm going to cut these old barns down. I'm going to be bigger, build bigger and better barns. And, oh, I'm going to fill them up. And I'm going to be satisfied for the rest of my life." And that night, "Oh, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." You see, we have to be careful because I think America has forgotten a little bit about the foundation of our nation. Not all. There are believers all over holding on by the skin of their teeth, holding on with all of their might. But you know, I think about the song "America the Beautiful" by Catherine Bates. She quotes a powerful line, "America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." You know, I have asked myself, do nations or cities have souls? Have you ever wondered about that? You know, the dictionary defined definition of a soul is the moral and the emotional nature, the vital principle that moves and animates all life. You know, in my travel, I've traveled all around the United States of America. I've traveled around the world by the grace of God, preaching and sharing the gospel. I can see where you would think, yes, America has a soul. Let me tell you why. Because it's amazing to see how every city is different, and yet each city or even nation shapes their city in its politics, art, trade. You see, the moral compass swings either for evil or either for good. How does God feel about that? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Jeremiah chapter, you got to remember Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a prophet to Israel. And Jeremiah in chapter 18, reading in verses 7 through 10, it says, "The instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it." You and I have to be careful. Because America, the church has to rise up like never before. Deuteronomy is so powerful. I don't know if you've ever gotten a chance just to read through the blessings and the cursings of Deuteronomy. For the sake of time, I wish I had time to read all of them. But there are the blessings that come, and then there's the cursing. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm just going to read verse 1. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey." There's a key in this, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be the basket of your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you go in and when you go out. Now, everybody wants that. They love that. Oh, yes, I want the blessing of the Lord. Woo, woo, yes, yes, blessing, 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 blessing. And many today, that's all they speak about. But what about those that disobey? What about the curse of disobedience? Does anybody really talk about the curse of disobedience? Well, let me read to you just a teeny bit in Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading in verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not. Ooh, that little teeny word, if you do not. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you go in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuking all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you. My goodness, there's so much more, but I don't even want to read any more because I'm going to ask you something. We have to remember that the curses can come to generation to generation. This is why when you get saved, it is important that you really make up your mind and serve God. You know, people say, oh, I'm just a sinning Christian or something like that. You know what? It's like, excuse me? What do you mean you're still sinning and a Christian? Can I tell you, that's like saying that I'm a pure harlot. Sorry, don't get mad at me now. But you have to understand something. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. And God promised this land to his descendants. You know, Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, he says, but in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. You see, God has a time clock when he says that's enough. When is sin of a nation enough in the eyes of God? You know, I do not want to be on the side of sin to find out. Amen? And does God have a sin gauge? When does it read enough? I'm afraid many, many in our nation have forgotten the Almighty God that we serve. We see in God's word where he said, enough. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and the Lord God said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. You see, I read in where Paul speaks to the church in Corinth, who allowed sexual sin to enter into the church. You know, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, and he goes, it has actually been reported to me that there is sexual immorality among you, which should not even be among you. Why is Paul dealing with that? He said, you know what? They shouldn't even be there. And you see, what has happened, we have allowed sin to enter in, and little by little, little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, and Paul again tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, a little sin leavens the whole lump? Do you realize what it's going to do from the head of the church all the way down? That stuff bleeds in there. You see, there will be a time when the gauge of sin reads full on God's time clock. My question to this nation and to you and I, are we getting closer to full? Remember, God's judgment is not just fire and brimstone. Do you know that? Sometimes God just simply removes his protection. You don't believe me? Let me prove it to you. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 8. He removed the protection of Judah. You looked in that day to the house of the forest. You see, these are things that many Christians don't want to talk about. And yet I'm seeing this nation in a different view. Crime is rampant. Gang violence is at an all-time high. Rape and sexual sin. I'm telling you, it's an overkill. But worse were the conditions. You got to be careful of the church. I just read an article where several pastors were caught in different immorality. You know what? A pastor in New York, I won't even mention his name, had been having an affair for 3 years. And we're talking about a large church. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Let me tell you, I preached in another large church in Australia, mate, and only to discover years later that senior pastor had molested young boys. Can I tell you that God is watching? You guys have to get back into the Word. You see, the worst condition is, you know, we have to preach the straight gospel. And people are afraid to speak about the tithing. They're afraid to speak about sin. They're afraid to speak about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so you have so many out there without the power of the Holy Spirit, so their flesh still dominates them. You're going to either be led by the Spirit or you're going to be led by your flesh. You see, we have to understand something. It's so crucial is the Word of God. Churches in every city, do you realize how many have closed? I was preaching in Europe, in Ipswich, Norwich, Newcastle, Germany. I'm trying to think of all the different places. Poland, Warsaw. Some of those churches that I preached in have closed down, and now they're bars. We're talking beautiful, great big church buildings that are now closed. Why? Because people stopped going to church. People stopped supporting. People stopped tithing. And guess what? How are they going to keep it open? How do you think the Apostle Paul, I was thinking about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where Paul talks about the giving for the other people, for the churches, for the ministers, and for the workers. I'm not talking about flying a 2, 3, 4 jets. I'm not talking about a $20 million house that, you know what, you only have one butt. You don't need 10 bathrooms. I'm sorry, you really don't. You don't need to sleep with 10 beds. You go to the same stinking chair every night. This is just reality. You have one chair you mostly sit in. You have one toilet you mostly go on. You don't need all that extra stuff. So I'm not talking about that. Don't stop doing what God commanded you because of other people that have set a rotten example. You have to remember something. The kingdom of God must go forth. And I believe with all my heart, this is why God has put me on the radio. I love you with all my heart, but you know what? I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. You know what? I was straight heathen. I wasn't raised in church. We're talking to somebody here. You have no idea, you know, but Jesus, when he saves you, he delivers you, he sets you free. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. He fills you with the Word of God. And you know what? I had no idea a year after I was saved that God would call me into the ministry. I didn't ask to come into the ministry. God called me into the ministry. I'll never forget the day when God anointed me and called me. Now, you got to remember, I didn't understand it. I still didn't even know my Bible, but God opened the doors, and all I would do was share my testimony. But one thing I did learn when I first became a Christian is I learned how to pray. I got filled with the Holy Spirit 2 months after I was saved, and I would just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray because I didn't know anything else. And then I would just read, read, read. My first Bible I read 3 times in 1 year. Do you want to know which Bible it was? Don't laugh at me. A children's Bible. A children's Bible. Why? Because I thought, why am I going to read a Bible? Thou, thee, go hither. Then I don't understand that. I don't speak that kind of language. I'm going to get a Bible that I can understand. So because I was a single mom with my 2 babies, you know what? I would open up that Bible and I would read them every night, the Bible. And I read two to three times in 1 year, that children's Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And it was so good. My son, who's dyslexic, he couldn't read at all. He went through some hard times in his junior high year. You know what? I had a full comic Bible. And I would sit down with him and say, Mom, read me more. And we'd sit there before they'd go to bed, one on one side, one on the other. And I would just read that Bible and show them all the pictures of Moses and David and every part of that Bible, the battle, everything, Gideon, and just share and share and share. So I think what happens is God sees you when you are praying. God sees that you're faithful, and God says, you know what? I can use that girl right there. And God raises you up and uses you. Can I tell you that we need this straight gospel preached like never before? And we cannot forget what has happened in our nation. What is happening? We're watching all the things that are happening in our nation. God needs people to rise up. God needs the church to walk right. We're seeing what happened with Katrina. We're talking about the earthquakes. We're talking about tornadoes. I just heard a news report that said snow some area 12 feet. I can't believe that. I'm from Colorado. We're used to 2 feet of snow, maybe three up in the mountains. But 12 feet? Come on. You know, the Bible says that, you know, tornadoes and floods, it seems like nature itself is on a rampage. You know, many people have said, well, where is God? Well, God is right there. And God is trying to get our attention. And sometimes he doesn't just bring judgment. Sometimes he just moves his protection. We have to understand something that's so powerful. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. You see, our Bible does show us in some instance that God does, listen to me, he does direct the forces of nature. Sometimes for punishment, sometimes for blessing. Psalms 107, for he commands and he raises the stormy wind. He lifts up the waves of the sea. Nahum 1:3, the Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has a way in the whirlwind and in the storm and in the clouds of the dust of his feet. 2 Chronicles 13, when I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land and send pestilence. Okay, let me stop there. We need Jesus. This is why God has stirred my heart to build a place of prayer. Why? Because God's people need to pray, seek his face while he's yet to be found. So listen, if you're a compromising Christian, the only difference, now don't get mad at me, the only difference between a compromising Christian and a dead man is they haven't been buried yet. Do you understand? It's so important that you and I stop compromising. Rise up and be all that God has called you to be. Pray with me. Jesus, forgive me for my compromise. Forgive me for making excuses. I'm so sorry, Lord. Help me to get on track. Help me to get off my rumpus and get back to church. Help me to be faithful with my tithe. Help me to be faithful to every service. Help me to read my Bible. Help me to pray. Help me to separate myself for prayer and fasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to know something. Weather's changing. Weather's coming really pretty. I want to invite you out to the Prayer Mountain for a church service. A Church Alive is worth the drive, I promise you. 25 beautiful acres. We're under a beautiful wooden pavilion, and it's awesome. Come up to the Prayer Mountain. Church service starts at 10 a.m. We're only 35 minutes from anywhere in San Diego County, so don't make no excuses. Sunday morning, the traffic's light. It's easy to come on up. I want to encourage you, and do me a favor, log on to my website at touchfromabove.org. Make sure you write to me. Thank you for the emails. Thank you so much for the calls. I do appreciate that. It touches my heart. God bless you. I love you. You have a great, fantastic, awesome, amazing Jesus Day.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Stines. Have you read her book, A Mother's Story? It's a must read, a heart-gripping true story, a murdered husband, a single mother, and a fight through cancer. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive her book, A Mother's Story. Send your support to A Touch From Above, P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California, 92065, or give online at atouchfromabove.org. Join us Sunday at 10 a.m. for a church service up at the Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California, 92065. We're only 35 minutes from anywhere in San Diego County. And besides, a church alive is worth the drive.
Join A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain as they present The Book of Ruth, a live drama, March 29th and 30th. Don't miss this powerful story of Kinsman's Redeemer, which represents Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Come early at 6 p.m. to save your seat or call ahead. Show starts at 7 p.m., limited seating available. Call 760-315-1967. A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California. atouchfromabove.org.
Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way? Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres. Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. atouchfromabove.org.
Like the ravages of a flood, but I call on the name.